Good evening, everyone. It certainly wasn't Pete tonight. Yes, the time again for Hutton to dive into the bowels of the news and present you with all of the juicy bits. To help me in this task, with surgical precision, I have the laser scalpel that is Wilma Fingerdo.
Thank you, Dr. Dick.
Sorry for that. The speculum that is Harry Balzac.
He is looking at you, Dick.
The cool, soothing flannel that is Norma Snuckers.
Oh, get away, you flatterer.
And the man who never stitches us up, Commander Witherspoon.
I can't wait to find out what news item I get to read tonight.
I suppose it is now time to try and shock this thing and bring this news articles into life.
Guardians have gone to the pictures.
Hot spot, swat, dot, pot, shot, blot.
It's rock time again.
Sinbad sad, as things improve, a tad.
For one officer, sorry seems to be the hardest word, not.
Lou sent us news about Alvin biting off more than he can chew.
And Norma's pouring her heart out.
After over a year of near silence regarding the Guardians, Boffins have announced that something has been quite literally staring him in the face this week. With the focus of many a pilot's visit to the ruins being the destruction of anything that moves, desecration of the ancient site, and the drawing of glyphs of human body parts all over the place using the wheels of their SRV, the absolutely bleeding obvious appears to have been right in front of them the whole time. Whilst engineers have been poring over the small chunks that break off various pillars and the data that can actually be collected by the Scarab mounted invisible knowledge gun, until this week no one has had the forethought to look at the pillars from which they came. Yes, it appears that the Guardian pillars have three different weapon fire detachable cover plates on them. An upper, a middle, and a lower section, only one of which can be removed by careful application of ordnance. With most commanders distracted by the shiny thing that fell off, Commander Germanis spotted that behind each piece of surgically destroyed cover plate was some hieroglyphic diddly-doo-dah, which varied depending on which one you'd just broken. Working closely with Commander Thaccino, he's been able to determine only one piece of translation out of the three. The lowest of the three sections does indeed quite simply say bottom. It's good to confirm that the Guardians are as partial to rude graffiti as humans.
Following widespread complaints from pilots that staring at the bright lights of overlapping hotspots was hurting their delicate eyes, and that the holo specs that are available in outfitting don't help as they are polarized in the wrong direction, the Pilots Federation has hit upon, if you will forgive the pun, a bright idea. They have not only reduced the glare from hotspots by cutting back on the intensity of the overlapping area, but have cleverly managed at the same time to help with social distancing, as pilots are forced to conduct mining operations further and further apart in order to find their precious cargo of low-temperature diamonds. The unexpected effect of this change is to bring about economic disaster for the galaxy, at least according to Mr. John Licken, spokesman for a minor faction on Buckle Dock, in the chicken system. Yes, Chicken Licken can be heard screaming, "The price is falling! The price is falling!" And that's no fairy tale, we assure you. The smart investors out there are selling all of their holdings that they have in Saltworks, as a sudden glut of the seasoning makes it almost valueless as a bargaining tool.
Yes, more power than a Van de Graaff generator and more King Crimson than Hanky with his pants down. It was a momentous occasion yesterday when the hottest prog rock band in the galaxy, Hotbox and the Devs, had the opening concert of their grand tour live at the Guardian Ruins. Yes, even the oldies in the audience had their hearing aids turned up to 11 as Axemaster Arthur, no, Wendy was the other one for goodness sake, told me, opened the proceedings with the band's best-known single, For the Love of Tritium, despite it recently plummeting down the charts. It had nearly been a disaster for fans, as Arthur had arrived only a few minutes before the scheduled start time, after screaming along the Neutron Highway as he'd missed the tour bus. But the fans were not disappointed, as the band played hit after hit from their catalogue, and the arena was bathed in the light show courtesy of the obliging Skimmers and crowned with a big glitter ball. The band were in their 3304 lineup, with Arthur joined by his not very long-standing vocal partner and keyboard player, Stephen Mad Wee Jock, but not as mad as Mwee Mad Jock Benedetti, with Rampage, Yes, I'm Named After a Bloody Plain 737 on 8-bit synthesizer, and Corey Deadshot Venezia on bass, and Shoreside, I Don't Have a Nickname Customs on lead guitar. And Marco, What Do You Mean I Am Standing Up, 2612, leading the backing singers, The Dirty Boxers. The concert went on into the wee small hours, sorry Marco, with only comparatively minor incidents and only finished when it did, because the woman next door said she had to get up early for work the next day. More dates for the tour will be published shortly. Sorry again, Marco. In case this report isn't 100% accurate, due to the onion head fumes at the gig, the apology officer has promised a completely unbiased version later in this bulletin.
The sound of chuckling could be heard all the way from Colonia this week, as Sinbad the used to be bad but can't be bothered to be bad anymore, appears to have thrown in his cape, packed his bags and gone to repair his reputation as a dastardly rotter somewhere else. Whilst he hasn't been seen in person since last week's show, yes, we're now sure that the charades playing mustachioed photobomber was him, and not a really, really early Halloween mask. Whilst browsing through the system logs, the fleet carrier Bad Fart, or of Fat Fairy, has now been renamed to the Sad Fart. Yes, even the orbiting nightstick with which they were subjugating the population is jumping away. There are rumours that the dedicated Badian forces, those loyal to Mr. I used to be bad to the bone but now it's only skin deep, have stayed behind and are attempting to interfere in the legitimate transfer of power radio of power between Radio Sidewinder, the galaxy's third most awesome radio station, and the 38. Hutton's Cybercrimes Division based at HCHQ have been monitoring traffic, showing that bad state actors had been putting on fake noses and glasses and preparing to rig the 3306 elections in WNL. Good, jolly good thing we started a war instead. The handover of the system appears to have had a pressure release effect on all the other factions based in WNL, with rumours that just about everyone wants to get the heck away from it now that they've been let out of prison and head back to their home systems. A series of retreats have been announced, with political teams preparing to clear their desks, board the nearest beluga masquerading as a tourist and go back via a few of the Colonia beacons. Hutton, the Palladium Consortium, Radio Sidewinder, and all other groups involved in the rededication of Dunkey's Rest have confirmed that the Galactic Wrestling Federation stake fakery of the war is just for show, and of course, we didn't really hit Bam over the head with a metal chair.
And now, an apology. Read on behalf of the apology officer, who has sent their apologies for not being here. Hutton Orbital Truckers Cooperative. Incident report form. Incident location, Sinoof, CE-RC21-6. Date and time of incident, 2015 hours, Wednesday the 15th of July, 3306. Reporting officer, Mia Harkness. Circulate to His Fluffiness, Alvin DeFeer, and progenitor, Lael Wolf, possibly architect Lael Wolf. Type of incident, hotbox. Type of damage, life, ship, station, and psychological scarring. I'm sure we all know the saying that a community manager is never late and that they always arrive precisely when they mean to. Well, I can only assume that Arthur Tolmie meant to arrive 30 seconds after FTM Alvin's paw locked down her landing pads prior to jumping. Thankfully, the Merlin to Arthur's Arthur was on hand to help out. Don Benedetti had tagged along as a disembodied head in a jar using the Xbox app and was able to conjure something which allowed him to use dark magic to help Arthur catch up. Once on board, the whole team made our way to the Guardian structure in the hopes of picking up a few weapon blueprints for folks. And we were in luck, and the whole site was in daylight. Everyone got landed, and we deployed SRVs, except for Bobby, who was providing aerial cover. My wheels had no sooner touched the ground than we encountered a Sentinel. Myself and Malice moved in and set about disabling this mechanized party pooper. Just as we were finishing it off, there was a bright light and a loud bang, followed by lots of flaming SRV parts bouncing around the place. One wheel still rolling along and is expected to complete a full circumnavigation of the planet by this time next week. As it turns out, Bobby's precision rocket attack on the Sentinel wasn't quite so precise as he thought, and he'd managed to wipe out myself and Melis in the ensuing explosion. A fitting tribute to Dan Topham's torchlight of terror. The rest of the event went without incident. Our commanders were able to secure three blueprints, and no one else died. Although we came close a couple of times while lining up for a group photo. Arthur even managed to get aboard the fleet carrier in time for our return journey. He was presented with a hotbox decal code, which turned out to be duff. Instead of a decal, he received a copy of the Ladies of Lacon 3306 calendar. Actually, he seemed quite taken by all those Rubenesque ladies in their boiler suits. So, Arthur, your new code is D0BNDR-F15H-B5C1T-HTB0X-KN08. That's Domino Fish Biscuit Hotbox Knob. Don't use it. Don't anyone use it now. No, no. It's Arthur's. So, in summary, it was all Bobby's fault. Anyway, happy World Snake Day to Commander Hankey and his clones, and happy National Corn Fritter Day to the rest of you. Mia Harkness, Apology Officer, Team Hotbox. Sorry again.
Well, well, well. Who's been paying attention this week? Not a lot of you, it seems. At war in LP525-39, elections that we wanted to lose and stain and we're drawing. Wise over 70%. Three over other systems over 60%. Alvin is very, very disappointed. At least Colonia is fairly stable, and they're not even pending an election in Tyr, which is almost unheard of. If you're over there, you can do anything good in all of our systems, but save your data for Tyr, please. Talking of Colonia, if you're working in Dubinunil, please contact Smuggles and McKeague before taking any actions. Sidewinder, handing over control cleanly is a delicate matter, and we don't want to mess it up. But back to the bubble. Lose in Stein. When in LP525-39. Pay attention to our systems and remember, under 40% is bad. Over 60% is bad. War is bad. Elections are bad. Civil war is bad, but a bit more polite. Sim is bad, but that's more of a bother in Colonia. Get all of our systems in that 40 to 60 bracket, and then we can work out on taking control of Wolf 1481. Now, where does Lou hide that ginger cake I always see him eating after that bit? I love a little moist bit of ginger. over to Norma.
Starting on the 18th of July and running until the 26th, the Buckyball Racers are hosting an event that they are calling Keys to the Carrier. This is a time trial, starting and finishing at the Fleet Carrier, Keys Cut While You Wait, KNQ-LTB, which is in orbit around Planet 9A in the sign of HP-E B45-7 system, some 696 light years from Sol. From there, you'll need to visit three different Guardian beacons, collect one key from each, and bring them all back to the carrier. When you get back, you'll need to show them your keys before you can land, so jettison them outside within 3 kilometres of the carrier, photograph them with the carrier in view, then scoop them back up, land, and sell them to the local commodity market. Full details are in the forums, and we've created a link to make them easier to find. It's bit.ly/keys2carrier. That's keys, figure 2, carrier. The big bubble banter bus is in party mood this week, as it appears that Baz has a birthday. We're not sure if it's a big birthday or whether he has balloons, but we do know that the banter bus became a battle bus and backed up Stein with a beep to help booster Hutton's influence. Now they've been brought to bear in LP52539 and have asked to be big, be bold, bring beams and, of course, big booms to the battle zone. If you want to join them, catch Commander Sin Rain on comms and join his campaign to carry on chatting. Looking ahead to the next few weeks, the monthly Hutton Come and Have a Chat evening, with the green room docking access being granted, is coming up in 2 weeks. And of course, the next CQC bash is scheduled for the 15th of August, to make sure that there's time for Anaconda ogling session from the Alvin's Paw on the 8th. On the Hutton notice board this evening, we've got a message of thanks from Alvin for the delicious dog treats that he opened and duly scoffed earlier, and the cuddly crocheted Alvin plushie that was sent for his aide Snoz to put in his bed for when he gets lonely. Usually when Alvin steps out for a pee. There are hopes that the plushie will stop Snoz pawing at the door and looking forlorn. We also have the latest from Major General, who has invented the helpful Hutton ear and hair protector for wearing alongside your Remlock, helping keeping it in place without developing helmet hair or calluses on the back of your ears. He has reopened the Little Limpet 3D printing facility aboard his fleet carrier and has set a purchase order for any reasonable donation to Hutton's chosen charities at the current market price. See Gall Book for details. And that's it from the community news for this evening.